This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Happy Friday, kiddos. You're listening to the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio. You know all guests on the program appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. I don't even know what's going on, though. I'm here. Jen Ladd is here. And Jen covers college football. So we're going to lean a lot on Jen because she knows more about this than I do. You know your boy from the Undefeated, Around the Horn. Used to be on OTL. Hear me running my yap on this network all day. Last night on The Intersection. Today here. If you're in Los Angeles like I am, it's very early. And you know Jen from all over the place as well. Please tell them who you are.
What even is college football, Clinton?
Dog.
like I know what it has been historically. Right. I know what it has been previously. I have no flipping clue what it's going to look like in 2020.
Headline, Big Ten moving to conference-only model for all sports this fall. Now, for as much as y'all have been trying to give the Ivy League all sorts of credit for reasons I'm never going to understand, this is a much bigger deal. Don't nobody care about Ivy League football. Sorry. I don't. People who played Ivy League football don't care about Ivy League football. Trust me, I've asked plenty, including the best player that ever played in the Ivy League, Marcellus Wiley. So I'm not worried about that. But the Big Ten changing up means everybody's got to reconsider what they're doing. Namely, Jen, because they're so geographically widespread. You know, that conference has teams all over the shop. And if they're making this decision, if you're a conference commissioner right now, you're thinking, man, is there really any way that we're going to try to pull this off if one of the biggest conferences in America isn't doing it, Jen?
This is like when you look around your neighborhood in February and everybody had their Christmas lights up and you take your Christmas lights down and then the next neighbor takes his Christmas lights down and then the next neighbor takes their Christmas lights down. And it's like you don't want to be the last house on the block with their Christmas lights up, right? That's why this is going to have this domino effect through the other Power Five teams. Because, yeah, the Big Ten took this stand and said we're only playing these conference games and eliminating some of the close non-conference games, right? Like there was some conversation on Twitter yesterday, Clinton, that was like, okay, you're going to travel 1,000 miles for this game, but this non-conference game is only 20 minutes down the road, and you're seeing that across the board with people saying like these rivalries that people are super excited about year in and year out aren't happening. So it's not about travel. It is literally about how can we salvage any portion of the college football season. And they think that doing the conference part of it is the only way to do it. And I think that there is going to be a domino effect here. I think you're going to start seeing other conferences. I know that the Pac-12 is having a meeting this morning, this very morning. It's early
Breaking
out there
because
they're by you, but they're going to decide whether or not they're going to just do a conference schedule. Pac-12 is a little bit different than the Big Ten. When you talk about proximity though, like think about the Pac-12 for a second, Clinton. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say that they have this meeting and they're talking about how, should we just go to conference games and eliminate the non-conference games? The Pac-12 is so spread out across that coast out there. You got states like California, right? Mess, COVID. You've got states like Arizona, hot mess, COVID. You got states like Washington, what's COVID? You got states like Arizona, who dis? It's a very different situation from state to state in the Pac-12. And if you think about some of these colleges, like they're very insulated, some of these spaces out there. And I'm not just talking about Pac-12. We're not talking about Pullman specifically, but like Iowa in the Big Ten, that's pretty insulated. So like, I think there's so many different variables that affect so many different colleges and universities out there. It's why it's been hard to come to a consensus. But I think this domino is the first one that means we're only going to see conference play across the Power Five if we see football at all this fall.
Jen, thank you for blessing us with that large nugget of information, but we need to return to the most important thing you said. Last person on the block with the Christmas lights up wins, dog. As far as I'm concerned.
No.
If you outlast everybody and they look good,
nope.
You're getting it done.
Nobody wants to have their Christmas lights up in March. Nope. Judgment, shame. Everybody's talking about you behind your back. You may as well be the family that leaves their garbage cans out on the corner all week long.
Not even remotely
the same offense. And then drags them in the night before, stuffs them full of stuff, and then rolls them back out there Friday.
Put it on the poll. How late is too late for Christmas lights? First answer, February. Second answer, March. Third answer, Christmas is universal and year-round.
No. How about third answer, just don't be the last one on the block to take them down.
What's your Christmas light setup? Do you go full house wrap, or do you have like things out front? What are we doing here? You strike me as like a characters kind of family. You got little dudes checking you out.
Hey, no characters. No characters. This is the first year that we have owned a home. We have rented thus far. So okay. I think this year is going to be like the benchmark, man. This is the year that we like can stake our claim as where we stand on the Griswold spectrum of Christmas lights. And dude, full disclosure, we have a family in our neighborhood that has Christmas lights up year round in their backyard.
Thank you.
And the neighborhood shame committee is all over them. All over them.
Am I talking to the president of said committee?
Possibly. I haven't officially been voted into that role, but I will gladly accept it.
I love this, but I love Christmas lights. People, stay strong. Keep them up as long as you want. Back to college football. My main issue here is that it never seems like at any point in this conversation, anybody asks the players what they want. Everything I hear is from a college president or from a coach, and everything I hear from players has to do with their relationship with their team specifically. But I gotta believe that a lot of these dudes, and by I gotta believe, I mean I don't cover college football like you do, obviously, Jen, but I know a couple guys on teams, and they're all just like, dude, we got no other choice. I mean, where are you gonna go? You know, we're not talking about Stanford banging out rowing or fencing, or whatever it is, where when they're not doing that, they can go back to their families and their normal lives because they're not really depending on that in any way to try to get a job down the line. It's a totally different matter to cut sports like that than it is to highly limit and also force people to do something safe or unsafe, rather, and, you know, in the guise of being safe. And I am not at this moment feeling very good about college football. It's the player base with the least power to be able to say anything if anything goes wrong. We got guys out here talking about they don't even trust their head coaches and they want independent parties. You know, if the exploitative manner that college football exists in gets worse with COVID, then we got to figure out something else altogether, Jen, because that structure is not going to work. You can't kill kids for Saturday afternoons. You just can't do it. You know? And I don't know when we've decided, okay, maybe this is a little too risky. You're not even going to have kids on campus, but you're going to have football games? Kids can't even go to class, but you're going to be running dudes out in pads? I mean, it just seems like that is a very basic element of this that I feel like I don't have answers to. If you're going to take the risk, just say it. I think people would accept it. But if you act like, we can get it in, I don't know. Like, when something goes wrong, then people are going to be more upset. And we daggone sure know something's going to go wrong. And I don't mean to be negative on a Friday, but I'm trying to be positive for the kids out there. I mean, I'm saying,
You just said you want the schools to be straight up. You want them to tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. You're not trying to be positive. You're just trying to be realistic, Clinton.
No, that's true. You know what I mean? I guess I mean positive in the sense of like this ultimately to me is not even about football. It's about the health mentally and physically of these kids who've already given up so much.
And listen, this is a huge data point that people have to consider when we talk about this subject, right? I said the other day that I didn't think the Ivy League was a precursor, but it was a data point, to borrow a term from the selection committee, that schools would be using, that universities and conferences would be using as they went and considered whether or not to have full-blown college football this fall. And the other data point is optics. What is the minimum requirement for schools and universities to have an education, boom, bullet point,
right,
on campus that will allow visually for us to be okay with football players being on campus? is if 25%, if 25% of the student body is on campus taking classes, are we then like, yeah, we could see college football players being on campus. That makes sense, right? Is it 50%? Do we need 50% of student athletes or students rather to be on campus taking classes in person before we're like, okay, so 50% of the student body is on campus. So then it makes sense. Because if it's anything less than 25%, then I think you're right where the optics are bad. Then it looks like you are willingly putting college football players at greater risk than the student body. You're protecting your student body, but you're trotting those college football players out there to be the cash cows for the universities. And that looks really bad. And that's something that I don't think these universities want to wear.
No school has the moral authority anymore, which is major, because that levels the playing field, because we can all see the effects of this. So we're going to get to a little more of this. We're going to have some more fun. It's your boy Yeehaw. I see y'all out there hating. You know who I am. I'm not the nice one. Jen is. Deal with it.
Oh, by the end of these 3 hours, I feel like we might have to switch on that. I think people are going to be like, I don't like that girl that much.
Dan Le Batard Show, Clint Yates, Jen Latta, filling in on a Friday in the summer. I'm in L.A. Jen's in the Midwest. It's mega early out here. It's been nice, though.
Is it still dark out?
No.
It's not still dark out. Okay.
No. The weather is keeping me sane.
Sometimes when we go to game day and we're out there on that coast, game day starts and it's dark outside. And that's weird.
Do people show up in that situation?
Oh, yes. Oh my God.
Explain to me.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. There's actually like a super like novel element to being at the game day set when it's still dark outside. And then you're there as the sun is rising. Like, talk about just like an incredible scene.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And of course, those students, it's not like anybody slept. No. It's not like anybody went to bed and came back. No, they just like powered through. A lot of Mountain Dew. Right.
I've never been to game day. We were on the radio a couple weeks ago and you said, you've done a lot of cool things. And I was like, yes, I have. Thank you. But that's one thing I've never done. Like, I have no idea what it's like on the ground other than seeing it on TV. And it's a great TV product. You know, been there for years, obviously.
I think that if there is college football and we have game day this fall in its traditional sense, I think you should come with me. I think you should be my guest on game day. Come hang out. We'll hang out in the bus. We'll mingle with the, you know, socially distanced people who are there. It'll be cool.
Let me tell you something. Cody, this one's for you. You know what I love doing? Showing up with my more important friends to things that actually I can just be there to entertain myself and hanging with them and meeting all the cool, important people and not having anything on the hook.
Yeah,
I'm 100% down for this.
And everyone else, right? Like, I'd rather go anywhere where I don't have to do anything and just like glob on to somebody else.
I can do things. I think we're talking.
I think everybody out there can relate to that. Like, you mean I don't have to work? I can just hang? Cool, I'm there.
I'm down. I mean, you know, put your boy on camera. I can say a few things. We can eat some food. I just posted something yesterday. I was doing an ESPN live show a year ago today at the All-Star game. Made a terrible decision to eat food on camera. I don't know, for you junior broadcasters out there that are wondering how to get in the show, don't do a whole lot of eating on camera. You will jack up your ability to speak, and it takes way longer to chew than you think when you're actually being timed.
Well, and then you could choke. Like, that's the other thing, right? Like, you try to swallow too quickly. Because that'll happen to me, like, during the breaks on some of these shows, right? I'll try to, like, shovel a handful of trail mix in, just, like, keep my energy up. And then we come back, and I'm like, I'll be like, that did not go the way I thought it was going to go. So I get that.
Hold on. That was an incredibly accurate sound for a non-real choke.
I appreciate it.
I thought we had a problem there for a sec. That was great. I would love to go to game day, though. I can't decide where I would most like to go, though. I feel like I'd want to go to a really weird place. What are the best places you've been to, Jen? Since we're thinking about this in terms of what's not going to happen or may not happen, pardon me, I would like to know your thoughts.
Okay, so I've only been on the show for 4 years, right? So I don't have the tenure of like your Herb Streets, your Desmonds, your coaches, right? Even Reese and Pollock. So everywhere I went the first year was new. I'd never been, right? Except for going to interview athletes or, you know, certain assignments. So that was real cool. But then like the third time you go to Tuscaloosa, you're like, all right, it's not that cool anymore. Like, no offense to the, you know, the Crimson Tide fan base. It's just not that cool anymore. Like, going to new spots, especially places that we've never been before, because it feels like everybody within like a 200-mile radius makes their way to game day. It's like this trek that comes from every single direction, and right. that's really dope. But like doing, I also love like the big game energy. So like we did game day last year, obviously in New Orleans for the national championship game, right. and like one, New Orleans is dope on its own. Then you add all these thousands and thousands of fans who are there supporting their respective teams, and like you can't like explain that energy. Like, it's just there. There's like a buzz in the air the entire time. And so that's really cool. So like, I'm torn between like the debut spots for game day, which are really cool, or the big game energy, which is like super fly. Right.
Reminder, I'm never going to Alabama. Ever.
All right, well, sorry. We'll cross that off the list. Okay, you don't have to.
Alabama's out. You can ask everybody in Talladega why. Pretty obvious. Even when I'm hanging with the great Jen Latta, I don't trust Alabama. Sorry. You got to show me that things have changed. Because what I saw a month ago, or whenever it was, and I was already off the list for me, made me kind of think I'm never going to go.
Is I would Alabama, like to go. Is it the only ahead. State that's off your list? Do you have other states? I mean, like, you.
There's one more that's right next to Alabama. It's got a whole lot of S's in the name. I ain't going there. It took y'all this long to get the daggone Confederate flag off your state flag? Yeah, bro, I'm good. And it took two football coaches to do it? Maybe I would go to the Egg Bowl. Maybe. If I flew in on a private jet, now I'm on a private jet from the city. I ain't trying to be on the ground in Mississippi. Sorry. 2020, y'all. I can say that. Anyway, game day got me thinking. I like game day. I'm actually going to miss game day. That's like the thing I'm going to miss more. The signs. Everybody messing around. The games are one thing. Oh, man. What are people saying, though, to you, Jen? Like, I mean, what do you realistically think? And you can answer this on the other side if you like. What do you realistically think are the chances that this football season happens?
Dude, I mean, I got asked this on Feinbaum the other day, and I didn't have a number, right? Because I'd love to be able to give you a number. Yeah, I was on with Paul. I would love to give you a number, man. But here's what I will say. It is decreasing by the day, right? So if I started at, let's say I started at 60%, man, they're going to make this happen. They're going to figure it out. People are going to wear their masks and they're going to social distance and we're going to continue flattening the curve. And every day it goes down a little bit more. Some days it's a half percentage. Some days it's 2%. Some days it's 6%. Man, I see some stuff on Twitter and I'm going, nope, nope, we're never having football again. So Paul this morning on GetUp said that he thinks 1 in 4 chance.
Wow.
Yeah, right? 1 in 4 Oof. From Paul.
Okay.
So it's steep, man. It's look, there is time. There is time for things to get figured out. And I think that's what all of these colleges are banking on. If you eliminate the non-conference games, you are basically squeezing your schedule, right? Getting rid of a few of those weeks when you got games. Now you can maybe push it. The start, Paul said he doesn't think that there's any chance it starts on time BTW. He thinks there's no way we start Labor Day weekend. So you push it back a few more weeks, maybe figure out some more stuff. I don't know. But like I said before, and we should address this when we come back, it varies so much from campus to campus. It's why it's so hard for there to be a consensus on this, right? And let's even in the Power Five, where you feel like from a financial standpoint, they're all going to be on the same page. It's different from state to state. It's different from campus to campus. And that's why when these university presidents get together, they all aren't unanimously making decisions. They're like, hey, man, that might be affecting you. That ain't affecting us right now. Which I think is another element that like people aren't talking about. People just assume that all these presidents are like, absolutely, we have to keep our athletes safe. We have to keep our students safe. Some people are like, hey, man, our students are safer here than they are down in Los Angeles or down, you know, wherever they live.
I get it. Yeah. Mm. I don't know how much I'm going to miss the football, but I'll tell you, definitely going to miss the game day. Coming up, we're going to talk about another school that we hear about a lot on this network. Dan Le Batard Show, Clinton Yates, Jen Latta. Menchies are already popping, y'all. Y'all always try to get on me. Little do you know, tricks on you. Engagement pays. So thanks for listening. Reminder, if you come incorrect in my mentions, I will embarrass you in front of your friends and your family. And
hey,
I will not
why did you just go in? Tell me about this voice that you just pulled into.
I just wanted to make sure everybody was listening, so I went a little down low. Anyway, we're talking about college football because that's what Jen covers and that's what's in the news. There's one school, however, that stands out from all the rest. obviously it's Notre Dame. South Bend, Indiana, classic football program in America. Also, very famously, conference free. So if every other conference decides they go on a conference play, I'm going to need y'all to explain to me like I'm a five-year-old, as they say on Twitter, how that affects Notre Dame. Because I'm not really sure I get how you have a football season unless you just bully your way into people's schedules, which would seem to defeat the purpose, if this happens down the line for all the other conferences, of doing it at all. I understand a Notre Dame exception. We've got that in the playoff and all this other stuff. We did. You know what I mean? But I don't understand on a basic level, Jen, what Notre Dame is going to do.
I think Notre Dame is going to be just fine. Okay. I think the ACC is going to bail them out. I put on Twitter yesterday, you know, man, Twitter is a weird space. I put on Twitter yesterday a GIF of a little girl sitting on a teeter-totter all by herself, right? Like trying to get it to go up, couldn't get it to go up, trying to get it to go up, couldn't get it to go up. And I said, Notre Dame be like, right? That little girl on a teeter-totter, like, why won't anybody play with me? But I think the ACC is going to step in and they're going to save Notre Dame. Look, there were big time games on Notre Dame's schedule this year that I was really looking forward to. Like, I wanted to go to Ireland. Like, I wanted to see that Wisconsin game at Lambeau Field. Right. These games are gone. But that doesn't mean that they are going to be opponent-less this year. There's incentive for – go ahead.
No, so what you're saying is that they're basically going to play an ACC schedule because the money of Notre Dame is worth it?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I was thinking like, is there any way that I could disagree with what he's saying? But no, there's no way that I could disagree with what you're saying. That is pretty much what's going to happen.
I mean, that's the advantage of being a superpower, you know?
Right. They do have a couple of Pac-12 games on their schedule. And like I said, I do believe that the Pac-12 is meeting this morning to determine if they are going to go to a conference-only schedule. I believe, much like our Christmas lights conversation earlier on, because the Big Ten took down their Christmas lights, I think the Pac-12 has taken down their Christmas lights. Nobody wants to be the last house on the block to take down their Christmas lights because of all the shame and judgment that
goes
along with
that decision.
Because
Jen Ladd is going to talk about you on the radio publicly and embarrass you.
I'm going to run by your house and be like, see, I wonder what their electric bill is. Look at all that energy they're using. And by the way, like if you've got the Griswold thing going in your backyard, right, where it's just like blinding when you walk by, and why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margo. If you're those people, I have a whole nother layer of judgment for you. But that's another topic for another day. Back to Notre Dame. Pac-12, okay. If they go to that conference-only schedule, Notre Dame had two Pac-12 games on their schedule this year. Stanford and USC. So that's two more games that they would have to try to fill with other opponents. But again, this is going to be like, this is the wild, wild west, Clinton. Like, this is going to be really weird. And athletic directors are calling in favors and they're talking to people like, hey, man, if we lose this game, can we get you in there? Can we bank on you to fill this spot? It's going to be a lot of like scratching each other's backs just to help fill those open spots on the schedule. There was a funny meme that went around. I love how these like conflict situations always bring out the humor in so many people. Like, you really see the genius of people out there. But it was the state of Florida, and it was like how the state of Florida should just have its own college football season, right? So you got like Florida State taking on FAU, and FAU taking on Florida, and
shout,
you know what I mean?
The Owls. Right. I could see that.
And you,
that actually wouldn't be that bad.
Separate them by every other week. So you take a week off and then everybody has to play back to back once on the schedule. It was pretty ingenious. I'm not going to throw it out there. It's possible that could be an option for this upcoming football season, man.
I would watch that. I mean, if we don't got nothing else, you know, what's the difference at this point? Over the last 10 years, all these daggone conferences have had so much realignment and all this other stuff. At this point, if you're not like a super hardcore college football fan, that sounds like as good an idea as any. I don't mind that at all. Florida, of course, is, I mean, y'all are in Florida. I don't really know what it's like down there now, but I'll be seeing the news. I see the numbers skyrocketing. I see myself getting worried. So if you got to, I don't know, side quarantine the state just for football, hey, maybe that's an option. Who knows? Sidebar?
Nobody in, nobody out. Nobody in, nobody out.
Who the Griswolds are. I don't know what that is. Put it on the poll. Do you think black folks in America are familiar with the Griswolds? Yes or no? I don't know who that is. Sorry. I'm a brother from D.C. that grew up in the 80s and 90s with two black parents. There's a lot of pop culture stuff that I'm just kind of like, yeah, we didn't do that. I ain't never watched Friends. I ain't never seen Ferris Bueller all the way through. Don't plan on it. Ain't never seen Titanic either. Sorry. Who are the Griswolds?
I'm struggling here to find words to respond to this unbelievably crazy stance. You know who the Griswolds are. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you know who Clark Griswold is.
This is Christmas music? What is, I mean, what's happening?
No,
here?
No. I listen, Clinton, you and I have done some work together. I find you to be an honorable,
Jen
I find
is
you to
judging
be an
me right
honest
now. That's what's
person.
Happening.
I think that you are lying to me
who
and to our listeners.
Who are the Griswolds? Is this a television program? Is this a movie? Is this something? Is this a song?
No, man, I can't even with you right now.
Who are these people?
I've heard a lot of things in my lifetime. I'm almost 40 years old, but this is the most absurd thing I have ever heard.
You know what? I have a very simple question to ask all of you all, which will determine whether or not I'm making any sense. Are there any black people in whatever this production is where the Griswolds are present? Oh, look at all the long thinking faces. Nobody seems to know.
This is my thinking
face.
It's up, you know where you throw your eyes up to the left corner of your eyes? Your eyeballs go up to the left corner because you're trying to like cycle through all the scenes. And now that you mention it, Clinton.
Thank you.
I'm having a tough time finding a black person.
Diversify your newsrooms and diversify your content.
In the Griswolds. And they have several movies, to be fair. It's not just the one. It's
these are movies. Okay. All right. We're building here.
All right. So we're giving you little snippets, little hints.
Several movies with none of us. Noted. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan Le Batard Show. Clint Yates. Jen Latta. We have gained some clarity in the break. Apparently, I am familiar with this, simply did not know the name of the family, nor have I seen the movies, nor were we able to name either a black actor or character in the film, as in the name of the character, but Twitter has helped us. You want to tweet us? At Clinton Yates, that's me. Jen, what's your Twitter handle?
Jen Latta. Super complicated.
I thought I had a number in it. That's why I asked that. Okay. At Jen Latta. Somebody hit me up and said, the police chief is black. Now, everybody in the shipping container and Jen, one at a time, take a guess, unless Billy cheated, as to what the name of that character, never mind actor, is. Chris Cody, you first, please. Don't be waving your hands at me, brother. We need a guess.
Game.
I didn't hear you. Sorry. Go say it again. Oh,
I prefer not to play the game. The game of guessing what his name is. I feel like that's just a lose-lose situation for me.
Okay. I'll guess for you. We'll just say Jerome. Billy, what's your guess?
I know the answer. I looked it up. I was trying to help you out, so I don't want to say.
We'll skip Billy. Anthony, what's your guess?
No idea.
Okay. Jen, your guess.
Ronald. The only reason I said that is because it's my grandpa's name, so I was like, what's a good name? Strong name, good name, police chief type of name.
Ronald, reasonably old generational black name. That tracks. Billy, what is the name of apparently the lone brother in this entire movie series?
I believe his name was Grover.
Grover?
Yeah.
First name?
It just says Grover, which is odd because if he's a police chief, you'd think it would be like Chief Grover or Chief whatever Grover's last name is, but I just saw Grover.
Okay, that was extremely disappointing. Grover is like a kid's pet name. I didn't name for a grown man
or a very famous blue character from Sesame Street.
Tremendous Muppet. Tremendous character overall. I know who Grover is. That I do know, like the blue dude. But I say all this to point this out. And this is kind of being for real. In 2020, when we're talking about representation
and we're talking about who goes where, and we're talking about diversifying this and that, understand there's a whole lot of stuff out there that might have been mainstream to a lot of people that folks like me just don't know about. Because, you know, we weren't a part of it. Either be it marketing or be it inclusion in the stories. And it's cool. I'm just saying. That's why I don't know who the Griswolds are. Because in the 80s and 90s, I wasn't watching those movies with my parents.
So that's really interesting to me because yesterday on Twitter, I saw a list that said these 50 movies have the most number of IMDb user votes. It's a good working list of the 50 most common movies that people have seen. If I rattle off this list, you think you've seen most of them?
No.
Really?
But, well, let's go. Let's do it.
All right. All right. So somebody keep a tally for me, all right? Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Dark Knight.
Yeah, I fell asleep in the movie theater.
Inception.
Did not get through that either.
Can we get a ruling, guys? Just falling asleep in the movie theater count as seeing the movie?
Sort of. I mean, I don't remember anything from it.
I got one thumbs up. I got one shake of the finger. So it got a shrug, an emoji shrug.
All right, what else we got?
Fight Club.
Seen that. Love that.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, absolutely great movie.
Forrest Gump.
I moved to L.A. Forrest Gump is a great film as well. I used to fall asleep to it in college and have that song playing on the DVD menu constantly when I woke up.
Oh, and everybody knows what song you're talking about, I think. Everybody knows. Everybody had the Forrest Gump soundtrack when I was a kid, 1994. Right. All right, look, I got a long list of 50 here. I think we should come back to it after the break.
That's fine by me.
So far, you're doing pretty well.
You know, people get through life not knowing a lot of things about a lot of popular stuff. You know why? Because y'all never asked us to be a part of it. So you got to find a way to move on. Your boy's out here watching all sorts of flicks that y'all don't know nothing about. And I'll tell you about those on the other side of the break. Jid Latta, Clint Yates, Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio on a Friday. Happy to be here, kiddos.